You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
We're back. We've got a great segment here. We are with music expert Mike Walter. He's the author of On This Date in Music, a day-to-day history of the music that inspires us and the bands and artists who created us. Wow, what a title for the book there.
And a way to wrap up a year.
It is. This is going to be a great show. Lots of days in a year.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Lots of days in a year, Mike. Welcome to the show. Hey, what's your favorite day of the year for music?
No, that is a great question. There are so many great stories in this book, and I really hope that people buy it and read it, you know, one book, one day at a time. I think probably my favorite is the story that I tell on September 7th. It's the great story about Eric Clapton. He was dating Patty Boyd back in the mid-70s, and the two of them are waiting to go to a party, and she's taking forever to get ready. And, you know, what do most people do in that situation? They watch a little TV. Nowadays, they hop on the internet. Eric Clapton picks up his guitar, starts drumming away, and basically singing about what's going on. It's late in the evening. She wonders what clothes to wear. She puts on her makeup, blah, blah, blah. And by the time Patty Boyd is ready to go to the party, he has written the beginning of Wonderful Tonight, which is arguably one of the great love songs in all of rock history.
Oh, 100%.
So I tell that story on September 7th because that's the night that they were going to the party, and it's one of my favorite stories.
It's late in the evening. She's wondering what clothes to wear. She puts on her makeup, brushes her long blonde hair, and then she asks me, do I look alright? And I say yes, you look wonderful.
Well, listen, Mike, I want to thank you so much for helping us end the year today. We're gonna go through a whole bunch of different ideas. I can't imagine. So you've got to have more than 365 different ideas. Do you have a list for each day, a whole bunch of cool things?
Well, so basically the way the book is written, Jim, is on each day there's one story about something that happened in music on that day. So it's not a book with a bunch of facts like these 15 people were born this day, at least 20 albums came out. I really chose to focus on one specific thing each day. And, you know, it seems like a daunting book. It's 630 pages. But if you do break it down and read one essay a day, it's an 850-word essay, which is a 5 to 10 minute read. And I hope people choose to consume it that way.
Well, that's terrific. Now, of course, if we're talking about all the different music on every different day, there's one day that I really got to ask about. And, of course, Don McLean asked the question earlier. Is there a day that the music died?
February 3rd, 1959 is the date that we call the day the music died. And for anyone who doesn't know, that's the tragic plane crash of Buddy Holly, yes. Richie Valens, Big Bopper. It's significant. Obviously, music did not die that day, but it certainly took a big blow. I mean, this was early in the days of rock and roll, and you're talking about three significant artists all perish on one day. It was a pretty sad and tragic day, especially when you think about Buddy Holly. If you go back and listen to the music that Buddy Holly produced in his short career, I don't think anyone doubts that he would have gone on to be an incredibly influential songwriter and artist, and unfortunately his life was snuffed out early.
Yeah, that is one of the real lamentable things. We've had a lot of people die early, die young. That's just a horrible thing. So,
and I'll tell you an interesting aside about that whole situation.
Sure.
Buddy Holly's wife was pregnant at the time, and she heard about the news. She heard about her husband dying on the news, and she miscarried. And that is the situation that now when you hear the news saying they're not going to report any names until all the next of kin have been notified, that's the incident that started that. Before that, when the media had a story, they ran with it. But it was Buddy Holly's wife's miscarriage that changed that for the media.
Wow.
Well, that's just absolutely freaky.
I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride.
But something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And then good old boys.
I mean, that's just amazing. Now, Mike, you've listened to a whole lot of music in your day. What is the most surprising way that a song originated?
You know, there's again, I think the book is chock full of them. I think one of the ones that I love so much is 1971. Deep Purple is scheduled to be in Montreux, Switzerland.
Sure.
They're actually going to record a new album at the famous casino in Montreux, which sits right on the lake there. And Lake Geneva. And as they're getting ready to record, the night before they're set to record, there's a Frank Zappa concert in the casino. Some guy brings a flare gun in, shoots it off, and starts a fire. So the casino is ruined, and the band watches the fire from across the street, and they basically write Smoke on the Water about the entire incident. If you go back and look at the lyrics of Smoke on the Water, the song tells the entire story about the Frank Zappa concert, and they say some stupid with a flare gun burns the place to the ground. They wound up at the Grand Hotel, which is where they recorded their album, instead of at the casino. And to me, it's just one of the great, who knows if we would have Smoke on the Water if there hadn't been a fire at the casino that night. Exactly, Jim. And not only a great song, but one of the most opening, one of the most recognizable opening riffs of all of music. And it's great that you got it. That's right. Classic song. Right?
Okay, so listen. So who's your favorite? Who's your favorite artist in the book? You can't really say that, so I'm just going to pick some. You got a good Bruce Springsteen? I like Bruce Springsteen for Christmas.
Ooh, and I have a question.
I like Bruce Springsteen because I like that Jingle Bells.
I love Bruce, Jim. As a matter of fact, my wife and I just saw his Broadway show a couple months ago.
Just like closed down this weekend. I think it was the last weekend.
It closed down, but if you've got Netflix, I highly recommended it because they recorded it and it's on Netflix now. I do. I have a number of different Bruce Springsteen stories. I think one of my favorite Bruce stories is when he was getting the music together for Born in the USA. He basically handed it the album in, the tapes, and it was his manager who said, look, this is good work, but we need a hit. This is in the mid-80s now. MTV was taking off. And he said, this is a good album, but it doesn't have that hit that's going to help you stay as a popular rock star. And that really upset Bruce. He was upset by it, and he went back, and out of anger, he wrote Dancing in the Dark, which became his most successful song of his entire career.
Really?
And, it's a great story about what happens when you challenge a true artist and a true musician. He wound up coming up with his most commercially successful song.
Yeah, probably because he avoided being commercial until somebody made him be commercial.
And you know what, Jim? That is a great point. And you can argue whether he needed a hit at that point or not, but it certainly helped him sustain his popularity throughout the 80s.
Well, I was watching the CNN thing about the 80s, and they were talking about all the different MTVs and all the different things, and they said that Bruce's stuff was really just strictly almost like concerts because he just didn't want to do their, knuckle down to their BS requirements.
Yeah, he avoided making videos for the longest time and really wanted to be, a rock star instead of a pop star. And I think if you look back on his career, he achieved that. But it certainly didn't hurt his long-term success to have that very successful album in the middle of the 80s.
Now, yeah, well, I still will never forget listening to Born to Run on my mom's Sony early, basically almost. It was a Sony stereo. It was about like it's small. It was a first Walkman. It was great sound. I would put it on my dresser, and then I'd sit there with a hand on each ear and listen to it, tuned up all the way, And it was just, I just loved that song, that stuff. And then I saw Bruce Springsteen in concert. He was at the Miami High Life Fronton, and they held the door while they were selling out the concert because it didn't sell out until everybody got there. And then afterwards, wow. And then I waited till afterwards with all my friends and got him and the big man to sign my my album. Oh, yeah. He put his arm around me and in front of all my friends said, this is a cool guy. Yeah.
So very
that was,
cool.
Oh, yeah. That
very
was like, cool. That's my rock and roll moment right there.
Oh, boy.
And that one, and I got go. Also got, I got hit in the chest by a pick off of Jimmy Buffett's guitar at a show. That was my other big concert moment. You got any good Jimmy Buffett stuff? We're down in Miami. You got any good Jimmy Buffett stuff for us?
I do. You know, I tell the story of Jimmy Buffett. I tell the story of Margaritaville. Do you know that he was in a plane that got shot at?
Wait a minute.
By who?
He was down in Jamaica. He was on a plane. He was basically hanging around with Bono and Chris Blackwell, who
sure.
started the Island record label.
Uh-huh.
And he said he's very familiar with the Island. He said, hey, let's fly over to the grill. I'll put you guys in my plane. And he said, there's some great jerk chicken over there. As the plane is landing at the grill, the Jamaican police start firing on it because they thought they had heard a rumor that somebody was coming in with drugs. And they started firing on it. He had to take back off.
Wow.
And he wrote a song about it. It's called Jamaica Mistake. And that's one of the stories I tell in this book, that it was an interesting, almost life-threatening moment for him and Bono and also Chris Blackwell.
Well, one of the more interesting rock and roll shows that I did see was I saw the Police in 78 touring out of the back of station wagon. You got any good
wow.
Sting or Paul? Was awesome. We went to the show simply to see if the guy could really hit Roxanne that high. He did.
I talk about the Police a few times and
the band, the
Sting.
Police.
Yes, we understand.
The band, exactly.
And we have a lot of first responders that listen, and we don't want to confuse them.
Right, no. I tell the story of Roxanne and the fact that Sting wrote that basically while he was in Paris for the first time, and he was walking around the, I guess you'd call it the red light district, and he saw prostitutes, what he claimed was the first time, and he started imagining falling in sure. love with a prostitute, and that's how he came up with the song Roxanne, which really went on to help launch that band.
You don't have to turn on the red light for me.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty good. I just pulled that one right out of the air.
Yeah. Something.
You did. Yeah. Somewhere.
I have a question,
yeah.
Mike. With music themes and TV themes, I'm wondering, do you have a favorite music theme from a TV show? And I'm thinking of this because I'm thinking of losing Penny Marshall, Laverne and Shirley, one of my favorite theme songs.
Yeah, I just heard the news that she passed.
Yeah.
I don't think I tell a story about music themes in this book, but it's funny. Growing up, I remember as a kid, I grew up in the 70s, and I used to love watching some of those sitcoms. I remember having a cassette recorder, and I would sit there and record the themes to, like, Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley and MASH and a few other shows that mm-hmm. we would watch. And I would go back and listen to them. And then years later, they actually put out albums with those themes. But yeah, those can be popular and catchy songs, right?
How they came
to be at, like, the Friends song was an accident. Most of them, it's interesting, those stories.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of them can be really interesting.
So now, let's see. You got any? Oh, here's a good one. I'd like to hear a Prince thing. Anything? You know, the Purple Rain. You got to play Purple Rain on the day that the Super Bowl, when he played the Super Bowl.
You know, Jim, it sounded like you started asking me before who my favorite artist was. And if I had to answer that question, it would be Prince.
Oh.
Everyone who knows me knows I'm such a big Prince fan. And I made a conscious decision not to overdo the Prince stories in this book because I didn't want my own personal bias to kind of blend in. But I do have a few Prince stories.
Let's get crazy.
Well, you know, my favorite Prince story, have you ever seen when he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No. I mean, the show?
So he was inducted. Yeah, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, when they do their induction ceremony, they usually end it with a all-star jam.
Right, yes. Right.
The year he got inducted, George Harrison was also inducted.
Oh, my God.
Harrison had passed by that point. And
yeah.
So they ended the show by doing an all-star jam to the classic Beatles song, which Harrison had written, While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
I remember.
And
this.
They asked Prince to take the solo.
Wow.
And I tell that story in the book, that up until that point, very few people thought of Prince as an amazing guitarist. Everyone thought of him as a great singer and a great pop artist and a great dancer, but very few people respected his guitar skills. But after that night, and if you want, go back. You can find it on YouTube. If you look up on YouTube, Prince.
We're doing it right now.
You will see one of the most amazing performances by a rock guitarist. And in typical Prince fashion, when he's done with the solo, he basically tosses his guitar up in the air and
walks off.
Struts off the stage. It's an incredible moment.
Mike, we got to take a break. Can you stick with us and do another segment?
I certainly can. I would love to.
That's awesome. And get your good stories ready, because on the other side, I'm going to ask you about like Saturday Night Fever and the disco era and all these good stuff.
I love that era.
All right. Well, get your good idea hat on. We'll be right back with more of Mike Walter, the author of On This Day in Music. This guy seems to know it all. We'll find out more on the other side.